Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this universe. Allah ta'ala has created this universe. And creating this universe there's a big reason for this, and our intellect or brains and minds cannot understand the reason for it. Even a minor thing that is created, we can understand. So how can we understand the reason or the wisdom behind the creation of the universe? Allah Ta'ala, the Creator, who has created this universe, Allah Himself has presented the objective of creating the universe. Why? Because if we don't understand the objective of something, if the objective is not clear, then it is not clear what to do. So if the human being could not understand the reason for the creation of the universe, then Allah Ta'ala explained Himself so we can understand our objective and the reason for the universe to be here. Allah Ta'ala created the universe, and Allah said the reason for it is this, the objective. I created the whole universe for this reason, because I have to create the human being in this universe, insan like me and you, the human being. Such a great universe. The reason for making this universe is that Allah Ta'ala said, I wanted to create human beings and send them to this world. Then, why did Allah Ta'ala want to create the human beings and send them here? We don't understand that. That what was the wisdom that me and you and human beings Allah Ta'ala created? For which reason? So Allah Ta'ala also presented the reason behind that. The objective of creating human beings. So that because we've come to this universe, this world, what's our objective? Why are we here? Why are we here? So that we don't live a life without any purpose, mission, vision, objective. So we can attain our objective. So the reason why we're here, the objective of the human being, Allah Ta'ala stated, is that the objective of creating the human being is that he can attain Radha ilahi, the pleasure of his Lord. That's the objective of the human being. Eating, drinking, sleeping, waking, wife, children, home, outside. We have no link. We have no... This is not our purpose. Allah says, Rabbul Alameen. Allah, Rabb, is the one who He rears and brings up and nourishes. Allah says that I have created you and I'll bring you up. Food, drink, water, clothes. I am responsible for everything, Allah Ta'ala says. End of story. Look how easy this is, isn't it? So our objective is one. Just one. That whatever Allah Ta'ala gives, dry, moist, whatever, however we get it, we stick to our duty from morning until night. And what's that duty? To please Allah. Say Subhanallah, Subhanallah. How easy this is, isn't it? Allah Ta'ala created the world. Allah created the world for us, the universe. And why did Allah create us? So that we can attain His pleasure. So how foolish a person is that 24 hours he forgets his objective, and he runs around to attain other objectives, and he stays upset and unhappy. It cannot be. Therefore Allah Ta'ala doesn't want to give, and we try to take from Allah. Can it ever be like this? No, it can never be. Allah Ta'ala says, what I want to eat, I'll try my best, I won't get it. But whatever Allah Ta'ala wants to give, if I don't even ask for it, Allah Ta'ala will give it. Subhanallah. This is Allah's power and status. Allah says, I'm Rabbul Alameen. Yes, Alameen. Allah Ta'ala has used the words Alameen. We are insan. Human beings, Allah says, you speak about yourself. Allah Ta'ala says, I'll bring up all the insan and I will look after all the insan. So will I not give to you? If I can give to an ant or a spider or the birds in the heavens, in the skies, I can give them bread, then will I not give you food? That's why Allah says, I'm Rabbul Alameen. Subhanallah. And how foolish we, us people, are that we forget our objective, our purpose of life. And we're worried. I don't know if I'm going to eat in the night, in the evening. Will my stomach be filled? And we don't have that much. Rather, we worry about years. We don't even know about life. After 10 years, then I'll start collecting for the 10 years after that. And I'll put mounds of wealth in front of me. I don't know when maut will take me away. In other words, how the human being has deviated. Mentally, we are deviated. Isn't it? What's happened to us, all of us? Think about it. What's occurred? How the human being, he goes away from the Quran and Sharia and Allah's principles. So it's very simple, my friends. Our objective is that we need to please Allah. That's it. You understand? Will we do this, inshallah? Good. Now, let's go next. Okay, Allah, fine. We've understood the objective of life, the purpose of life. So how do we please you? Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Question after question, isn't it? Yeah? Straightforward. Allah, you've created the world, the universe. You told us the objective of the universe. Okay, we're here. We're useless. How do we know how to please you? What do? Will it be from my sleeping or my walking or my singing or me running? What do I do? What shall we do, Allah? What action? So Allah Ta'ala said, fine, I'll define that to you as well, give you the criterion so that you don't have any difficulty. So Allah has defined the action that will attain His pleasure. And Allah has called that ibadat, worship. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. What do we call this? Ibadat. Ibadat. Worship or worshipping Allah. So Allah says, if you want to please me, then worship me. Do my ibadah. So food, water, drink, a house. Allah says, I'll give that to you. When there's adhan, run to them to pray to me. When I say to go and stand, go and pray. When I say to sleep, then if you hear the adhan, get up and come back straight to me. Allah Ta'ala says, heed the call. That's our duty. Allah's given us this duty. Are we fulfilling this duty? Tell me, oh, what about the salah, my shop? Somebody's leaving salah due to his shop or business. Someone has another excuse. I've got pain in my leg, in my head, or my children. There is no excuse. Then we say that we are successful. How much deficit the human being is going into might sound a minor point, but it's very complete and massive if we think about it. It's not a massive point. It's not a massive discussion. So Allah Ta'ala created the universe for man. Allah created man to attain Allah's pleasure. Radha, the method to get Allah's pleasure is what? Ibadat, worship. Now, what do we do in terms of worship? Let's go to the next question, the next level. The next level in the series. We think ibadat are just a few actions that Allah has given to us. We think that that is the culmination. That's the comprehensive package. That's all there is to it. That the prominent thing, which everyone thinks is just the be all and the end all, that is the faraid that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. The compulsory action. Salah is for, yes, yes, that's ibadah. And fasting is ibadah, yes. And hajj is for, that's also ibadah. That's it. That's all we know. Isn't it? But the faraid that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, that not just that is ibadah in reality, worship. That's Allah's karam and mercy that He's made some actions for it. Otherwise, every action is ibadah. The mu'min's every thinking, saying, talking, walking, sleeping, sitting, every action of the mu'min is ibadah. There are so many paths to please Allah through worship, and ibadah is in every action of the mu'min. Everything, every second of the life of a mu'min is ibadah, worship. You're walking on the path, whilst you're walking you see, subhanAllah, that there's something, an obstacle on the way, and you move that branch. So what's the objective? To please Allah, that somebody will walk along this path, pavement. Let me move the obstacle. I swear by Allah, whether your tahajjud is accepted or not, but that action will be accepted. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. Say SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. So which ibadah is greater? Tahajjud. That if you keep on praying tahajjud upon tahajjud, you've got the prostration mark on your forehead, but behind all of that, you don't have the objective of pleasing Allah. Everything's a waste. Hajj upon hajj, no objective of pleasing Allah, then it's a waste. So wait, objective is one. But if you remove a twig from the pathway, the road, and your objective was to please Allah, alhamdulillah, to remove the obstacle, that will become the highest grade of ibadah worship and it will be accepted. SubhanAllah. What a great point. What a great point. So the objective of man is what? Is that so many actions of ibadah Allah has given to us, immense. So many. It's not just the 4 or 5 faraid and that's it, full stop. No, Allah has given us mercy. That don't just consider these 4 or 5 actions as ibadah, because they are fard. So that our fear, every human being, for some reason, out of an excuse, at least he has an excuse that he has got to come to me. Because my mercy desires that every man somehow, he pleases me. Allah says, I swear by Allah, and I say that if salah was not fard, not one man would come to the masjid. Not one man. No, keep the bed. Is it fard? People ask. Is it obligatory? Is it compulsory? Is it fard? This action. Is it obligatory? Our standard is, oh, is it obligatory? The Allah Ta'ala's karam, mercy upon us on this ummah. Allah wants that every human being remembers Him and turns to Him. Allah says, I want to see that you are busy in my radha, my pleasure. So some actions Allah has made strong and fard, compulsory. And due to those being fard, every action, the human being implements those actions. And that's why Allah's rahmah is with us regularly. But that's not it. It doesn't just stop there. If I talk about Allah's radha, every second action, thinking, walking, talking, sleeping, eating, drinking, everything, it becomes ibadah, worship, if behind the action, the intention is to please Allah. Radha ilahi. So from all the actions of worship, I'd like to discuss and share with you one action, ibadah, prominent. It is, you can say, a very high level of worship. We don't consider it as high level worship. Everything else we don't consider as worship. 4 or 5 things we think that this is worship and nothing after that. When we say a person, oh, he's pious, even if he takes people's rights, if he steals from people, if he's doing dhulam, oppressing, lying, deceiving, and you see him coming going, oh, he's pious, he's a muttaqi. Allah Ta'ala, O servant of Allah, this is not the condition. Allah knows that from which action I will be pleased. Will I be pleased from his salah? The person who pesters people from his hajj? The person who takes people's wealth, who lies, who commits fraud, who deceives? In the dunya, maybe you will be called pious people, elevated, but after coming to me, Allah Ta'ala will say, when you come to me, I will do your hisab, that you will realize the action at that day, what you are. The maqsad, the objective is Allah's pleasure, rada. So, one action of ibadah, ajib, unique ibadah, that Allah says, I become pleased suddenly just like this. Yes, Allah says, as soon as you do the action, I'll become pleased. So I'll tell you what that action is. Shall I explain to you? Will you do it? True promise? Solid promise? Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. So that ibadah, it's called adab. Adab. Subhanallah. We don't know what this action is. What is it called? Adab. Adab. So what is adab? Adab, sort of manners, behavior, comportment. But the person who has adab, he has a good destiny. A person who has no adab has a bad destiny. If a person has no adab, he is zero beyond zero. The person who has good manners and adab, even if he does a small action with adab, manners, behavior, sincerity, then Allah says that action is very immense. So what is adab? Allah says that if you have adab, good manners, behavior, and I will open Jannah for you, paradise for you. What? Allah Ta'ala says that those things that are connected to me, if you have adab with those things that are connected to me, then you will get close to me, Allah Ta'ala says. You will get close to me. Subhanallah. Anything that has nisbat with me, Allah says, if there's a branch, a twig, or a shop, or a house, or a woman, or a man, or outside, anything that has a connection with Allah, a connection of places, house, insan, human being. The human being was a link with Allah. A place that has a link with Allah. If something in history has a link with Allah, or a book has a link with Allah, then that thing, that item, that person becomes very great and immense. That whoever has manners and adab towards that, then Allah says, I have accepted that person. For example, here this place, this masjid, the house of Allah, we see it as a masjid. We see that, for example, Hazrat Sheikh, my Sheikh's Khanqah, that where I used to go and where my tarbiyah took place, my reformation, improvement, it was a place around it. Around the Khanqah was dirt and dust. People used to throw rubbish. The Waliullah came. He said, where shall I make the Khanqah, my headquarters and base? We used to see that, oh, this building, buy this building, mashallah, get the charity to get the money. The Wali of Allah, the Shan, they go on tawakkal, trust and reliance on Allah. They make the jungle into mangal. They make the jungle into greenery and moisture. The makhluk comes and gives itself. They don't ask from people. Look at the tawakkal of Hazrat Sahib. That's where my tarbiyah took place. The place where people used to throw rubbish, the rubbish heap, the rubbish site from the whole village of that whole area. And how could people recognize that that was a place to reform? So Hazrat Sahib came. No one was looking towards that site, that land. It was dirty. Hazrat Sahib said, is there anyone who can remove all this rubbish? This corner plot here or this part? And Hazrat said that to his murids, to his students. Allahu Akbar. Where great awliya Allah came from, the awliya of their time, Ghaus, they were given the company of Hazrat Sahib at that time. And today this ajiz who is not capable, and I sat there, and now we are sat and doing dhikr of Allah. So what was that place? I'm telling you, define it to what is adab, what is manners, comportment, behavior. So Hazrat Sahib requested, is there anyone who can clean this? So the khadims of Hazrat Sahib, overnight, all the dirt and the stool and the dirt and rubbish heaps, everything was cleaned and removed, and they established that plot of land, and they built a wall, and inside they went and put a straw mat out. No carpet, nothing. No structure. What did that become? Allahu Akbar. It became the headquarters of the Wali of Allah, his base. It became his headquarters. And sujood took place, the prostration, the house of Allah was established. So in the house of Allah was established, so the connection was with who? With Allah. So the value, how much did it increase? A person cannot imagine. That place where there was dirt and there was rubbish thrown became such an elevated place, the masjid, the house of Allah. Just like this is the masjid, your masjid. So nobody could dare to then have bad manners. Once you clean a place and associate it with Allah, no human being, once he goes in the house, that can he come? With wudu he can, but without wudu he cannot. No. No. What a great action of adab. The stand, first clean yourself, purify yourself, become park, pure, and that place where dirty things were thrown, but now that place is associated to Allah, you do not have permission to come in, you have to be purified with wudu, your clothes pure, the place is pure, everything is pure, do wudu, ablution, recite the kalima, recite durood, come in, and straight, not straight, rather first, do two rakah, salah, sujood, and thank Allah, that Allah, you brought me to your home. So what are we speaking about? Where before rubbish was thrown, the rubbish heap, dirt. And that's how much you can say people are cautious and careful. Everybody knows that a woman who was, she was a person who was poor, and she used to work in Masjid Nabawi, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's masjid. She used to sweep the masjid, clean the masjid. And nobody knew her, really looked towards her more than once. But subhanAllah, she cleaned the masjid, the house of Allah. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam masjid. But those who have vision, they see the khadims. And she didn't know that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the eyes of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, she was very beloved. The Sahaba Ikram, the radiallahu anhum, they didn't know her maqam. She became ill and she passed away. And people took her. They said, oh, she's a normal woman, poor. They took her and buried her. One day the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was looking towards where she used to be. Now, where's that woman gone? They said, oh, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, she's died. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what did she do? She used to have the adab, the manners in the house of Allah. Pick up the spiders and clean the masjid and brush the masjid, sweep the masjid. Look at the adab, her manners, comportment, behavior. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, why didn't you tell me? She was so important that she was close, so much importance in the eyes of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he said, why didn't you tell me? The Sahaba Ikram replied that we didn't know the importance. Rasulullah Sallallahu said, take me to her grave. I need to pray her janazah, pray at her grave. And the Sahaba Ikram took the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then Imam Al-Anbiya, the head of the Prophet, his Salatul Janazah, to pray the Salatul Janazah. Tell me what a great, great piece of news for that woman. And how qabar, she must be fortunate. What her maqam must be, and how pleased Allah must be with her. For which reason? That she had adab and manners towards the house of Allah. She used to clean the house of Allah. So if Allah is happy, then Allah's Rasul is happy. Have you seen this? Yes. So adab is a great, great station. A great, great connection with Allah. A person who has a connection with Allah. If we have learned the adab to any item or person that has a link with Allah, if we serve that person or that item for a little bit, not for the sake that we're serving that person, no, for no other reason whatsoever, except that may Allah be pleased with my ibadah, that I'm serving Allah's deen, Allah's servant, a pious person or an item or the place that's connected with Allah. And if you do a little bit of adab like that, you'll become so high level, and sometimes that person is so elevated. But due to having no adab, then a person's lower than the level of the crust of the earth. He loses his levels, his worship, everything goes to dust. So this is a great ibadah. Let's do dua to Allah. Allah gives us the tawfiq that we learn adab and don't talk about people behind their backs, disrespecting people, dishonoring people, considering somebody lower than you, considering somebody is a nobody. No, no, no. Allah knows best. Anything or any person that has a connection with Allah, nisbat with Allah, is close to Allah. We have to have adab, because nisbat, connection with Allah, is that any, that for example, if somebody, for example, is, if his lips, his body, his actions are praising Allah, then consider this person is good and Allah's put into my heart, rather than criticizing that person, putting that person down. Observe silence and have adab with that person. And obviously, if the pious servant of Allah is made apparent, visible, then that's a very great achievement. So such places, what is Hajj? Does it make sense that you go between two mountains, then you go to Arafat, then you go to another valley? Allah Ta'ala says, these are all the ash'ar, the signs of Allah. They all have connection, a link with Allah. Isn't it? So Allah Ta'ala loves that. Those places that are signs of Allah, that have a link with Allah, says, so announcement so clear, that all of the dunya should have adab for those places, manners when they go to those places, and respect for those places. So respect and manners and good behavior for those things or items or people that are connected to Allah or close to Allah. So these are the days of Hajj, isn't it? From Shawwal, the days start, don't they? The days of Hajj. So now, in these 3 months have a special link with Allah, special link with Allah. Just like Laylatul Qadr, they had a link with Allah. The days have a link with Allah. So they become azim, days, moments, nights. Anything or any time or moment or place or person that has a link special with Allah, it's lazim that we have adab, we respect and have manners and comportment towards those things. We should never disrespect those things or those people. So these days of Hajj that are passing, don't think that, oh, Hajj is just on Dhul Hijjah for a few days. No, no. Allah says, these months of Hajj that have a link with Hajj, they have barakat and blessings. So what we need to do is have adab for these months. If we have adab, respect and good manners and behavior towards these months, then Allah will give us so many rewards and luxuries and treasures in these months. But we don't realize. Why does Allah Ta'ala tell us? Maybe Allah Ta'ala wouldn't have told us, but Allah Ta'ala has told us that these are the sacred, holy, great months of Hajj. So you can earn in these months. Have adab for these months. So make niyyah, everybody. Make intention this whole month, that these 3 months of Hajj, we should have adab and respect and good manners, and we should have the sincerity that these months are great. We should hold them in high esteem. Every day, night, minute, if we have put esteem into our minds and hearts for these months, Allah, this ibadah, to respect these months, to have good behavior in these months, then see after these 3 months pass, how happy Allah will become with us. This is a great ibadah, great worship. But look, Hazrat Ghawse Pak, Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullahi, has written an event in his kitab, I remember this. And Hazrat Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, and is narrated, the narration comes from her, and there was a person who used to sing musical instruments, used to mess about, and he was a sinful person at that time, and he used to spend the year like this. But when the days of Hajj would come, suddenly he would break all of the instruments and throw the instruments away, and he'd change. He would repent and start fasting, do ibadah, worship. And first and foremost, all the actions of sin that Allah Ta'ala was displeased with, he'd stop them. Hasbi tawfiq, with Allah Ta'ala's tawfiq and capability, the ability Allah gave him, he stopped. So somebody went to the Holy Prophet ﷺ, there's a man, sinful, he does immoral actions. Don't know what's happened now, that in these days he changes himself. Allah's Nabi ﷺ said, bring him to me straight away, immediately bring him. Bring him. So he was called, and he was asked that, tell us, why do you suddenly change when the days of Hajj come, the Ayyami Hajj? And he became afraid. Maybe I've made a mistake. He was a sinner. He said, oh, I'm caught out here. Maybe I'm making a mistake. He started to cry, oh, Prophet ﷺ, I tell you the truth openly. Please listen. This is the open, honest truth. Because whenever anyone has adab, Allah is pleased. He said, all year long I commit sins. These few months I thought that in these days I'll please Allah. And just in these days, due to my adab and good manners and respect, I leave my sins. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his face out of happiness went red. He said, listen clearly. Is this the reason? Then listen, the reward that Allah Ta'ala is giving to you. Your previous year and the year to come. All that, both years, Allah Ta'ala has given you the reward of fasting in these 2 years. Subhanallah, Allah becomes pleased with that person. So my brothers, alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. I've made this niyyah today. I had no intention to come. I was unwell. I want to pray. Asar, Allah put it into my heart. That go, and this is the Saturday, alhamdulillah, go, sit with the brethren, do the dhikr of Allah, please Allah, people will come, sit and please Allah, we'll please Allah together. These are not the days of negligence and laziness, that's why I'm present in your service, I've come, so that Allah Ta'ala can become pleased with us. So whenever you get an opportunity in the day, and a thought comes to earn good deeds, straight away implement them. What's adab? Behavior, manners, respect, what do we need to in these days? Have adab. Not that we pray salah, fasting, pray tahajjud, this is not adab. That's physical worship. Adab, respect is afdal. That we should do the actions that Allah says that in these 3 months in adab we need to please Allah. We should not do any action that earns Allah's displeasure. End of story. Okay? Now we need to see that which actions call us all as displeasure in the morning wake up. Ask yourself, how does Allah Ta'ala become unhappy and angry? Go to the respected scholars. Ask them, Hazrat, which actions call us Allah's displeasure? What are sins? They'll ask us, what are the routine of your life so we can take out, extract your sins. Say, don't be ashamed when you go to people like that. Don't be ashamed. They'll say, okay, what do you do? What's your work? Don't be ashamed in saying, Hazrat, I do this and I do this as well. I commit this error. I pray salah, but I do this as well. Then they will tell you straightforward that these actions X, Y, Z, these are wrong. Take, switch them off. And these actions are very good and stay steadfast on them. Maintain them. That's it. End of story. So when you extract the sins, you'll become a person of adab. Good respect and manners and good behavior. Ba'adab. Ba'adab. Whatever action earns Allah's displeasure. Not small or big. Don't think like that. Don't cause Allah's displeasure. No, it's small. No. Is Allah displeased? Yes. Then it's not small. It's a big sin. It's no such thing as a small sin. How can there be something that's a minor if Allah's displeased, not happy? So you look in your homes, in your lives, in your earnings, in the time of the day, what are you doing, how are you occupied? What actions are you doing that is causing Allah's displeasure? Yes, and if in these 3 months we pass these 3 months correctly, properly, with Allah's fadl and grace, we control them. Okay, make this niyyah. These 3 months we won't cut our beard or trim it. What difference will it make? A person who shaves his beard or cuts his beard, is there any action that causes Allah's displeasure more than this? Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made it apparent, visible, the displeasure. That this point has come to my mind, I share it with you. That Allah Ta'ala made it zahir, clear, visible. The sin, the magnitude, that when those people came, used to shave their beards, the Prophet of Allah said, that straight away take them out of my city. That if they stay here, may not be that Allah Ta'ala sends his adab, punishment in Medina. Yes, that Allah Ta'ala doesn't like people who spoil their faces and their appearance. So brothers, we need to be careful with regards to our face and appearance. Might seem a minor point, but this is all shaitan who deviates us. So in our home, singing, instruments, music, stop them. Eliminate them for 1 or 2 days, you'll feel you've lost something. But after that, inshallah, you won't feel like doing wrong actions. You won't feel like it. Subhanallah. If you want Jannah, paradise, you want to please Allah, and you want to attain your objective and understand your objective, then we will have to do these actions. After that, make niyat, tajud, this, that, that's extra. No, 5 times a day salah, Allah is calling us to that. Be steadfast on that, regular, end of story. That's His deen, that's the deen of Islam. Don't do those actions that cause Allah's displeasure. Yes, we need to work hard on that, leaving the sins. Don't do any action, don't go close to the action that causes Allah's displeasure. Tell me, if Allah is unhappy, then the whole universe will be unhappy with that person. And none of his actions are then straight. Everything is crooked. His life has no blessings, no barakat. It's a wasteful life, a person who's up and down like a yo-yo and sinning. Nothing in his life has any blessings because Allah is unhappy with him. So will we do this, brothers? Today what we've discussed, we'll have to pull ourselves together, be determined. Allah Ta'ala put this message in my heart for me so I can pull myself together in these days, correct myself, improve myself. Let's promise to Allah, inshallah, we'll pray salah regularly, steadfast, the way Allah Ta'ala has instructed. And the rest of the time we'll spend on preventing our life from implementing sins. Mustaqil, we will eliminate sins from our homes. We'll look inside our houses. We'll save ourselves from backbiting and lying and fighting and anger. If ever it happens that this action comes to us, we know that Allah is unhappy, then there's a very simple method. 2 rakah salah nafl, do tawbah and recite astaghfirullah one tasbih, everything's forgiven. So one, if you commit a sin, 2 rakah tawbah and do tasbih of istighfar, don't delay. For example, I fought with you, I become angry, I'm insane human being, get angry, I swore, abuse when I call, calm down, straight away run to Allah. Straight away run, do wudu, pray salah, 2 rakah. Allah Ta'ala loves the action, that subhanallah. Subhanallah, that this man, he committed the sin, straight after that he felt it, his Rabb is mawjood, he knew that his Rabb was present to forgive him. Allah loves that. That Allah is so, says he's so hopeful on me, that this individual has so much hope in me, that I'll forgive him. Go, I've not just forgiven you, but I've turned your sins into good deeds and high level good deeds. Subhanallah. Will we do this, brothers? Inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, ability, capability to come. Valuable moments. Ayyam-e Hajj, the days of Hajj. Allah's karam on this Masjid Ibrahim. I'm sat here, you're sat here. Don't look at the gathering. Don't look at quantity. Massive crowd. Allah Ta'ala doesn't count the number. Allah Ta'ala looks at the sincerity. Allah counts sincerity. Who knows that today dhikr is here? Who has come here, pulled himself, dragged himself with love? This is the sign of sincerity and love. And we've left the time of our eating. We've changed. Dhikr today. Okay, Hazrat Sahib's coming. We'll sit down for a little while. And we'll sit here for this reason. And if he comes from home, I swear by Allah, that person will never leave empty handed who came with that intention, who came to please Allah, who accepted Allah Ta'ala's invitation. So brothers, whenever there's a gathering of dhikr, a majlis, keep on coming. We sit, we come regularly, straight away come immediately, that this time we're not going to waste. And especially the days of Hajj, may Allah Ta'ala allow me to come time and time again, and we sit together regularly. And we need to increase the majalis, not reduce them. Bring your friends, associates, colleagues. This dhikr gathering, days of Hajj, double, treble, mashallah, Allah will give thawab. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المسلمين تواب ياسين النبي اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد النبي الأمي أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا اے میرے مولا تو ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے یا اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے یا اللہ ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دے یا اللہ ہماری بخشش فرما دے یا اللہ ہماری بخشش فرما دے یا اللہ ہماری بخشش فرما دے یا اللہ ہماری توبہ قبول فرما دے اے میرے مولا ہماری توبہ قبول فرما دے یا اللہ ہماری توبہ قبول فرما دے یا اللہ ہم پہ رحم فرما دے یا اللہ ہم پہ رحم فرما دے یا اللہ ہم پہ رحم فرما دے اے میرے مولا تو راضی ہو جا یا کریم تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا اے میرے مولا تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا یا کریم تو ہم سے راضی ہو جا اے میرے مولا ہماری عبادات کو قبول فرما لے یا اللہ ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما لے یا اللہ ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما لے یا اللہ ہمیں جنت نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمیں جنت نصیب فرما یا اللہ ہمیں جنت نصیب فرما یا اللہ دوزخ سے نجات عطا فرما یا اللہ دوزخ سے نجات عطا فرما یا اللہ دوزخ سے نجات عطا فرما یا اللہ ہمارے دین اور دنیا کے ساتھ سارے کام ہمارے حسن فرما دے. یا اللہ دین دنیا کے سارے کام حسن فرما دے. یا اللہ اپنے حبیب کے صدقے سے ہماری دعاؤں کو قبول فرما. یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما. یا اللہ ہمارے ماں باپ کی بخشش فرما. اللہم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وربنا. یا اللہ رحم فرما, کرم فرما. یا اللہ تمام کی بخشش فرما, پوری امت کی بخشش فرما. یا ارحم الراحمین اپنے فضل سے ہماری مجلس کو قبول فرما. وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلیہ صحبہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین. سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون, السلام علی المرسلین, والحمد للہ رب العالمین.